Fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God through His servant. Be blessed.
Good evening, church. So I don't know that this is how the front feels like. Okay. Amen. Wow. Okay. I want to first off acknowledge all standing protocols. I want to appreciate Daddy and Mommy for their labor of love and for their many deaths. I want to thank them for dying daily, you know. It's as they die that, you know, life is at work in us. I want to also thank our associate pastors. Thank you, Pastor Dario. Thank you, Pastor Friday. Thank you, Pastor Nismos. Thank you, Pastor Gospower. Thank you, Pastor Shiji. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for all you do. The Lord is your reward. Okay, I want to thank my brethren. Thank you for praying for me. Yes, and I also want to say thank you to Barika sisters. Thank you for all you do. I'm sorry, I want to appreciate all the SLTs, all the leaders in the house. Thank you so much for the place you occupy. Okay, Holy Spirit, help me. I come under grace. Okay, So I'll be reviewing the grand finale of Baba's blessing, and I would be starting from Pastor Mike. Okay, so I'll be starting from Revelations 14, 1 to, we'll be reading from 1 to 5. Please, can you give me Revelations 14? Okay, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as if there were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whatsoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God to the Lamb. Please, can you give me verse 5? And in their mouths was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Okay, so Pastor Mike started with this scripture, and then he was saying how that, the first being that was seen on Mount Zion was the lamp. Then the 144,000. Can you give me Psalm 32, actually, Psalm 32, verse 2. Okay, so blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So what I saw in this scripture was that the 144,000 were blessed men. They were holy men, and, you know, these men, it was recorded that they had no guile. You know, Pastor Mike was saying how that it is not just, Satan that... It's not just Satan that finds fault in men. He said that the throne also can find fault in men. That the only reason why the throne will not find fault in a man is if the man has come to a place where he has the sealing of the name of the Father. Amen. Can we go to Matthew 28? Matthew 28, please. Thank you. We'll be reading from 18, please, to 20. Okay. And Jesus came and speak unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So Pastor Mike was saying how that, I'm just very, very shaky. All right. Okay. So he was saying all that the he was talking about this scripture, and he was saying how that the Amen. Holy Spirit, help me. Okay. So he was saying how that names are powers. And he was saying how that power grants you access, you know, into the next allocation, you know. And then he talked about how that, please give me that verse 20. Oh, is it 20 now? Okay, sorry, 19, thank you. He was saying how that the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost are all, what's it called? The name of the Father is, it's on its own. The name of the Holy Ghost is on its own. And then also the name of the Son is on its own. And then he was saying how that these names are also, He said that these names are, what's it called? He said the name of the Holy Ghost. He said these names are mysteries. He said these names are mysteries and amen. So this is actually Satan, because I cannot explain how, you know, still seated on my seat. I was really, really somewhere ready, and you know, I don't know. Okay, so I'll just go to the thoughts that I, you know, that came to me while I was really studying and, you know, listening to the message. So, can you give me Colossians, please? Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 2. Okay. And your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Please give me verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Take me to verse 2, please. Back to verse 2. Okay, so while I was reading the scripture, one thing that came to my mind, like one of the thoughts that came to me, was that everything that we need to be entire, everything that we need to be believers that, you know, we can get to that point where we'll have the sealing of the Father's name, are in these mysteries. You know, from the mystery of Christ to the mystery of the Father and of God. You know, Pastor Mike was saying how that it is only the Holy Ghost that is not, that does not have a mystery. He was saying now that the Holy Ghost, he referred to the Holy Ghost as Jesus. And he was saying how that the Holy Ghost is a seal that would give you access into these mysteries. And he was saying that, from the mystery of Christ, we move into the mystery of the Father and that of God. So one example, one thing that also came to my mind is, it is in learning these mysteries that we'll get to that point where we can, that we'll get to that point where we can refuse evil and, you know, choose good. So I kind of like linked Colossians 2:2 to Isaiah 7 verse 15. Please, can you quickly give me the scripture, please? Okay, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose good. So one of the illustration that came to my mind while I was reading this scripture was our Igbo brothers, like Igbo people. You know, it is only an Igbo man that would literally produce Nike and call it Nike. You know, and before an evil man will like do that, he will first of all, you know, study and, you know, make research on that brand, like that product of shoe that they want to, you know, do a prototype of it. They will first of all do that. But it doesn't end there. You know, now when they do that, they put it up for sale. Now it's going to take somebody who has eyes for shoes. You know, it's going to take somebody who has eyes for that brand, who maybe is a lover of that brand, to first off, when that person sees the product, will first of all spot that, no, this one is fake. You understand? Even before he goes for, okay, give me this one, this is original. You know, the person first off, like, I'm somebody that loves shoes. So for me to like get a very good shoe, I would, when I see the fake, I would definitely know, like, I'll first of all identify that, okay, this is the fake first before I can go on to, you know, get the original one. You understand? So what I saw, you know, while ruminating on like that thought was that, you know, in this scripture, he didn't say that he would first of all choose the good. He said he will first of all know how to refuse the evil and choose the good. You know, I also saw that on a lighter note, yeah, that Baba's blessing, you know, Reverend taught from milk to everlasting milk to Christ to everlasting, and then eternal life also. But one thing I also saw was the milk that Reverend was teaching about. It wasn't milk of the word. It wasn't basic milk. You know, it was teaching the milk from like an everlasting sight. So on a lighter note, I remember like a few years ago, Believers Convention, you know, where Reverend was talking, maybe 4 years or 5 years, Believers Convention, where he was talking about faith. Now, on a lighter note, you know, he was talking about faith. And he was saying how that, you know, there's just a way whereby we've been taught how that faith would just, we can just use faith to, you know, claim things. You can even use faith to reject evil, you know, like reject things that are bad. You understand? But you know, in growth, you will get to that place where you will use faith to also refuse things that seemingly looks good. For example, like when you get a job outside Ibadan, for example, you know, a well-paying job that the job has a fat salary, you know, accommodation, car, everything, things like that. You know, we don't see it how that we can use faith. Like that is if it's not the time for that thing for you. That is if that is not the plan of God for you. We don't see how that we can use faith to refuse that. You understand? We only see how that we can use faith to claim things and all. So while I was still like studying on this, one thing I also saw was how that as light is coming to me, as light is, you know, coming to us in the house, you know, through the apostolic grace, you know, as pastoral instruction is coming, you know, how I receive that light, you know, and transact with it. And as a result of that transaction, it becomes my life. You know, it is basically a build up for me. You know, it is a build up for me to be able to, you know, get to that place where I will come of age, you know, to get to, so that when I get to this point, I will have enough judgment to be able to refuse the evil and choose the good. Amen. So I was just thinking around it still while I was studying. I'm talking about the things that, you know, personally came to me while I was studying. So I saw how that the instruction that comes, like I said, the pastoral instructions, the instructions from the Holy Spirit, you know, the instructions from your brethren, the instructions from your leaders, you know, all those instructions that comes, they are basically building materials. Now, how they are basically building materials that as a result of use, you know, we can be able to get to that point where we would come of full age, that point where we'll have, you know, what's it called? Stature. So I would not bother going into the Adam and Eve part. Tadiola already said something a bit about that. So I'll just touch a bit of Reverend. I didn't really study in 1 week. I'm sorry. So you know, the beginning part of when Reverend was ministering, Reverend was talking about how Jesus, you know, is our apostle, how Jesus is and high priest, the high priest, you know. And then one thing I saw, I won't really repeat all the lines the way Reverend said it because of time, but one thing I saw is how that, you know, my calling as a believer, my calling as, you know, a child of God is to come into that place of me, like myself also being a priest, you know, coming into priesthood, you understand? And then I also got to see, I also got to see how that my calling is to come into, is to become Christ, you understand? And it is basically in becoming Christ that I will have that, I will get to that point. Like becoming Christ is more like a means to an end. It's more like getting, like coming into a destiny that will lead you into a destination. You understand, which is God. So I saw how that, I saw how that, as my journey as a believer, it is very, very important that I journey to that point, you know, where I would become Christ, where we have the properties of Christ, where we have the configurations of Christ. Amen. So, amen. So, another thing I saw, you know, in that, beginning also was, So another thing I saw also in that, beginning was how that, you know, Christ, coming into that place of Christ is very important, because Christ is basically that foundation that God can build anything on. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, I think 2:17 or 2:19 now, you know, it was talking about, thank you, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands. This foundation is Christ. So it is this foundation that God can build anything on. Amen. So, and I also got to see that it is in Christ that all my abnormalities are being treated. It is in Christ that, you know, all the, you know, Pastor Mike was saying how that, on based on that teaching, that he sees everyone as a psychiatric patient, you understand? So I saw how that it is in Christ that the right drug, which is the leading of the Spirit, is being administered to souls, you know, to turn them. Amen. So, and like I rightly said, that okay, ma, that it is this, it is this foundation, which is Christ, that God can build anything on. So finally, I would want to talk about just, okay. I wanted to still say more about Reverend. Okay. So, Reverend, one thing, not, I'm not going to say accordingly, but one thing that I also saw while Reverend was ministering when I was listening to the message was when he was talking about testimony and testament. And one thing he said that really got me, that I paused, he said that most of the men, like, you know, Paul, Enoch, Abel, all of those people, they came into their testament. And I was asking myself that, okay, okay, you know that you have to get to Christ, you know, and all of that. How do you, I was just asking myself that, how do you intend, you know, what are the things that you need to do to come into your own testament? And I saw how that in those mysteries, there are works. And it's important that for every mystery, we need to, you know, do the works. You understand? So I was just like praying, and I'm like, God, for every stage, you know, that we are, each and every one of us, you know, that the Lord will help us to do the work that is required, you know, for every stage that we are in individually. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Melody. The Lord is your strength. Well, regardless of, you know, the whole shaky scene, we really were blessed. Thank you for pointing out all those areas that the Lord, you know, spoiled in your heart. You know, Reverend took a lot of time to first lay the foundation before he moved into the area she ended with, the testimony, and how we can partake of the seed, the testimony, the covenant, and the promises. We must understand one important thing, that, you know, it's also necessary for our growth. Reverend spoke about us keeping and preserving our seed, that we can kill Christ. You must learn how to hide or preserve that life. If you love your life, you will not want to keep the life of Christ, because Christ has a standard. And that standard is going against our own life, because Christ is like a cross that crosses out the old flesh, meaning your own expectations out of life. If you do not love that life, you will start, Satan will start nurturing bitterness, offense within your heart against that life. And then Christ that is supposed to build you up becomes a stone of offense. It becomes a stumbling block. Apostle Peter spoke about that in 1 Peter chapter 2. So those, the builders who rejected that stone, we know the ministers are the builders, but also, we also are God's building. As we respond to God in obedience, we are building. We are responding to building. What the Lord wants to do is to first build that jacket, that house. Reverend spoke about that seed. That seed, he said, that seed is the incorruptible seed. It's like the word that leads to house the testament. So God will first give us, understanding of light that will make that house to be built. One of the things Sister Diola said when she was speaking and abroad, Tosin also corroborated that, about how you have to build up the content before you crown it. There was something Reverend said before then, although that was towards the end. He spoke about the bottle. I don't know if we remember the bottle of beer. And he said that bottle is like the body, the house. You need the body first before you get the content. So without the body, without the seed, we can't come into the testament. The testament is the blood. And without the blood, you can't make covenants. So this process is, you just must make up your mind and be resolute about how far you want to go with God. He said, Jesus can be seen. You can see Jesus because Jesus has a lot of manifestations, all those power gifts, operations. When you are in need, you can be drunk and you really want to stay at that level. But when Christ starts working in you, it's it, because it's a mystery. So there was something Sister Melody mentioned in that 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, about the foundation of the Lord standing sure. When you're making foundation, do you see it on the surface? It's inside. So many of us are going through processes in our lives, and it's as though nothing is happening physically. Sincerely, a lot is happening on the inside. So much work is going in on your building. It's not just obvious to your sight. And so you can't afford to give up or feel because nothing obvious. There are all those feelings you used to have after prayer when you feel like, yes, I've done something. Or maybe after you had those present encounters or you had dreams and, it makes you spiritual. I can tell you, you can have all of those and really no building is going on in your soul. You can have dreams, you can have encounters with angels, see them, and no building at all, because when they are building you up, they are crumbling another building. How you know that you are that a work is being done in you is how much of sanctification is going on within you. How much of building, how much of work, how much of denials heaven is permitting you to go through. As you respond to those processes, you know what heaven is doing? They are crumbling another building and raising their own house. When they are doing that at the surface level, it is not obvious to the sight. But you must believe that work. We must say, tell your neighbor, say, you must believe that work. We must believe, we must have faith in our heart that Jesus is at work. He's building his house. He's building his foundation. He's raised, and it has to be solid. That foundation must be sure. If it's not sure, then they will try it before it becomes sure. Isaiah 28. They have to try it. They will try it and make it precious. It will go through processes. That stone will be tried many times until it becomes a sure stone. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone. So these are seasons your Christ will go through. A sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not do what? Meaning you will not hasten out of that phase. You will stay and allow that work to be done thoroughly. Many of us are fighting our seasons.
We want to go ahead of God. We are not, you know, we are not patient enough to trust our lives into God's hands and allow Him fashion how things should be, because He knows what He wants to build and He knows how much waste He wants to put upon you. Because of that, He's thorough with His work. At times you look at your brethren and you are like, maybe this one is fast. No, the journey of that person might really not be yours. You must believe in the work heaven is doing in you and accept that work. So tell your neighbor, say, don't kill Christ. Say, don't kill that life. That life is the life of faith. You must not kill that life. You must not deny that faith. You must believe the Lord and pray to Jesus that your heart begins to love His way. You will love His dealings. You will embrace them with your heart. And in embracing them, you begin to see that you are going deep, 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 deep down. He's making His roots going deep in you. He's making His foundation established in you. I pray that the Lord Jesus will help every one of us in this place. That, you know, these seasons that we are going through, whether physically or spiritually, whatever it is that you have to encounter in this, and the Lord will give you the strength to hold on through the season for the life of Christ to be formed in us. Hallelujah. Can we put our hands together for Sister Melody one more time? Sister Tulola, the Lord is your strength.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. First of all, Han, Kestavino Brega de la Catesia, La Baria Zunzili, Prophet Vanisefin, a prophet in a season. It's a prophet in a season. It's a prophet in a prostavin season. Prest is in a see, propheting, prof. For you've come into even an incubatory house. You've come to a house where incubation takes place. You've come to a house where even my spirit, even that prophetic spirit is upon. You've come into a house where my prophetic spirit, even my prophetic spirit is upon. It's an incubatory spirit. It's an incubatory spirit. It's an incubatory spirit that takes process. That takes process, and therefore you've seen quite a lot of arrangement around your life. Even quite a lot of arrangement around your life. Even arrangements that you yet do not understand. Even arrangement that you've not been able to define. Even arrangement that you've not been able to understand in total. Oh, presta vine halia baria sanzele brecatesia la baria sumpre. Ebiono free pop. For even the end of that process, even the end of that process is to bat you. Is to bat you. Prophet is to bath you. It's a prophetic bathing. It's a prophetic process. It's a prophetic weaving. It's a prophetic walking. It's a prophetic step. The breast of Nehalia Baria Sanzele Prokofa Babana Capacism. Even I'm bringing even an increased measure, even of that prophetic spirit upon the house again. I'm bringing even an increased measure, even an increased measure, even an increased measure, even as my servant is returned, even part of the spoils that he has brought forth is even a heightened prophetic spirit, is even a heightened high-tech prophetic spirit. It's even a high-tech prophetic spirit to speak for things, even to speak things for your profiting, even to speak things that we aid even that process of incubation, even to speak things concerning your baptism, even concerning your baptism. Even I'm making you understand. I'm making you see. I'm making you see that I am involved. I'm making you see that I am there with you. I don't want you to look back, for some are already looking back. Some are already making alternative choices. Some already are already making choices to go back. Some are already drawing back. Some are already taking steps backward. I said, do not take steps backward. No, do not take those steps backward. But rather come into agreement, even coming to agreement, come under my mighty hand, come under my wings, even come under my wings, as a hen covereth her children, even to covereth her eggs, even to incubate her eggs until they become battered, stay under that prophetic wing. That is how you will not be devoured. That is how you will not be spoiled. Stay and allow the process to be completed. The time is in my hands. It's not in your hand. It's not according to your calculation. It's not according to your timing. It's according to my timing. It's according to my timing. Your path is different from one another, but the destination is the same. Even the destination is the same for everyone. Must go through that process of incubation until you are battered. A son, until you are battered, a building to carry crown, a son to carry government, even a son strong enough for government, even the government of heaven to rest upon. See the Lord.
Can we bow our heads and pray? I believe the season is upon us, when the formation of Christ is to be formed. When the life of Christ is to be formed in us, we go through processes. And many of us might want to run away from those processes. We might want to make alternatives. We might want to look for choices. Satan will bring many opportunities for us to escape from that, dealing. But the Lord wants us to stay. The blessing will come when we stay. We will be kept when we can keep the seed of God, the seed of Christ in us. Can we pray that heaven will help us, that this work that God is doing in our hearts, we will not run from it. We will allow Jesus. There are many people, according to that tongue, that are already going through that phase, looking for alternatives, ways of escape. Can we pray and bear them up in the spirit as they are, that grace will be made available in this season for them to stay. They will stay. Every one of us will stay for the life of Christ to be incubated and to be birthed in us. This life will be birthed. It will complete its term. It will complete its course. Lord, we pray for strength for everyone. We pray for strength for every heart. We pray for strength even when we don't understand why we are going through circumstances. Lord Jesus, we pray that so much faith will arise in our hearts. These are seasons when we'll be given to the word. We'll be given to much hearing. We'll be given to hearing, much hearing of faith. We will come into much hearing, much devotion to the word. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. We will be given. We will not run away. We will not give it to the enemy. The enemy will not exploit us. He will not cut short the seasons of God over us. But rather by grace, we will complete the time. We will find grace to stay and endure the processes for the glory of the Lord to be formed in us and to be revealed upon us. Lord Jesus will say, as a house, we will stay. As a house, we will wait upon you. As a house, we will stay through the seasons. We will endure the seasons. We pray for strength for heart in this season to be resilient. Strength for heart to refuse evil, to refuse the temptations, even to look for alternatives. We will wait for God. And we said the seed of Jesus will be kept. The seed of Christ
to be kept in us, the seed to be preserved in every soul. Every heart will permit and allow. We will partner with Jesus, we'll agree with the Lord for the formation of his life in us. Father, we give you praise. Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, pastors. Good evening, daddy and mommy. Good evening, Pastor CG, Pastor Friday, Pastor GP, Pastor Dio, and Pastor Nesmos. Thank you so much. So, when Pastor Friday told me that I'll be reviewing the last day, he asked if I was happy. I said no. Who is ever happy to sit down here? Please, can you give me Revelations 12:11? 12:11. Okay. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So, from what Reverend spoke about that day, he spoke about how that we have the word and the testimony. So the word is like the seed, and then we have the testimony. So when you are talking about the word, the testimony is the blood, and then the word is the seed. So now what the seed protects is actually the life in you. So when Reverend kept, sorry. So when Reverend kept talking about it, he now said that, and they overcame him. The him is the dragon. Now, the overcoming was not by doing warring in physically. It was warring in the spirit. Now, by obedience to the word that they were hearing. So now, their life is a test. Sorry, I wrote down here that their life is a testimony in the dragon. So their life is a testimony in the dragon. It attests to the seed that is in man, that is in them. So, I will explain a bit. They have the word of that testimony. It is a testament inside the dragon. So, we understand how that, from what Reverend taught, that when Adam and Eve ate the seed of the corruptible, they partook by obedience of that seed. So as they obeyed the seed in them, sorry, in us, sorry, okay, we get it. So as they obeyed that life of maybe you see another thing apart that is not God, God is now foolishness to you. You feel like you can be at par with God. You feel like you have another Christ life, like Reverend said, that is not the Christ that is in God, that is of God. So they partook of that life. They an example of partaking of that life is probably when when someone offends you, just talking generally. So when someone offends you, and that you have the choice to either respond back in offense, or to take another life, another wisdom, which is to respond back in love and talk to the person and apologize to the person. Now, there's another wisdom that will keep speaking to you that, oh, okay, don't talk to the person now, that the person offended you. You should be offended and take it really personal. But meanwhile, what you should take is another wisdom, which is the wisdom that is of God, the seed that we are supposed to partake of is supplies. So I'm sorry. So yes, I also wanted to talk about choices, that as man we have, Reverend said that Reverend spoke about how that there's a seed in you, and that the more you obey the seed, the incorruptible seed, the more you are you are worrying the corruptible seed in you. So there is like power play. Sorry, not like there's power, but like there's like power play, like how Pastor Mike said about it, spoke about power and name. So like there is a power play where you are living daily. You are living daily, like you are receiving grace. That grace, you are obeying the life that is in the seed. So it's not like you are what's the word? Okay. So I'm going to read what I wrote. We heard of a seed that is corruptible and started walking in obedience to that life. That is why you cannot say that you are sitting on the fence. You cannot be lukewarm. You either live by a life that stems from God or from the wicked one. So it's just what I understood from what Reverend said. And you live by this wisdom by daily choosing. So daily choosing is like you have to receive the grace per day. Now I'm not saying that there's one like studying the word of God, listening to messages, like studying the word through messages that you hear. So you cannot really even know what you are building with if you do not come to church, if you do not hear from the true apostolic and prophetic source, like the source. If you are not really paying attention to that, yes, to the vessel. So for example, our reverend said that we have Jesus the high priest, we have our pastors, and then what was the last one? I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. We have the Holy Spirit, then our pastors. So if you are not coming under, if you the fourth person where you should be like your brethren, you should have the brethren, then the pastors, then the Holy Spirit, then the high priest. If you are not paying attention to those building template already in place, you will not be able to build the building that the seed will supply. Thank you for the encouragement. So okay so I've said that part. I'm sorry, let me just go to where I was. So he said that the testimony of Jesus Christ inside them will have to replace the life of the dragon which they inherited. So let me just start from the beginning. Yes, so he also, if we go back to the beginning, Reverend spoke about Hebrews 2 verse 17. Hebrews 2 verse 17, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful. He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So Reverend said that the reason why, firstly, we have an high priest and an apostle that makes reconciliation for our sins, because he himself suffered being tempted and is able to succor them that are tempted. So we have to first, Reverend said that we have to consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. And what is our profession? What is our destiny? It is our calling, our function, what the Lord has given us to be, which is to be the rest of the Lord, to be the building of the Lord. So moving on to, I think I'll just read my notes, sorry. So if this profession is my calling and my function, I should consider the apostle and the high priest. So our profession is that we are called to be priests, and that is what Jesus is building us for. I'm sorry, I just put my thoughts here. Can I just read it out? Sorry. Jesus is the sent one and the great agent for our reconciliation. You need to look for him to be able to come to God. Yes, he said that how that you have to be a building, and then we have the living, the incorruptible seed, the living and the abiding. That the living has there are two services. Yes, ma'am. Dicotyled on the seed. So we have the living and the abiding. So we need to first do the living work. We need to obey the living word before we move to the abiding. Is the abiding that the abiding is a place of rest where is already is also another service, as what Reverend said. It's another service. But you need to do the living service first before you do the abiding service, which is resting, which is it is in rest that you abide. But there's also a service done in that rest. Okay. So he said that each word has a testament. How the word ends. So it is only in the name of the Holy Ghost that there is no testament attached to it. That is why it is not mysterious. Pastor Mike mentioned it, how that we have that the Holy Ghost is not a mystery. It is a power. We have the mystery of Christ, mystery of the Father, and mystery of God. Okay, so, I'm going to skip some parts. The season of the word is not the season of crowning. It is the season of learning. This is where you learn, you hear the word, and then you do what you are hearing. So that is where you work. That is where you actually, you obey in rest too, sorry. So Jesus received a crown of glory and honor at a level of everlasting life. He received the seal of the everlasting life twice. Sorry, crowning doesn't come until you finish the work. Okay, I'm very sorry. So that, that's it. Finally. Okay. I'm sorry, Mom. I think I'm done.
Hallelujah. Can we put our hands together for them? Thank you so much, Sister Talala. Thank you so much, Sister Melody. Thank you. Really, until you come sit here, then you understand the kind of pressure they had to go through. And it's actually our first time, or their first time of coming out here. So, but at least we were able to communicate some of the summaries of things they picked. So much is to say, but we have a very short time. So I'll just go straight to the next reviewers, Brother Ife and Brother Tyre. Brother Emmanuel. Yeah, fire. So let's have them. You're welcome. Today is for first time. Okay. So this, we have the brothers now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See their jotters. Tab, oh God. Okay. So we have a very short time, and we just want to learn how you were blessed and what blessed you. So that's what we want you to communicate to us. So let me start. Can we start?
Praise God. I want to first and foremost appreciate Daddy, Reverend, first, for all his teachings and prayers over us. I've really been blessed, seriously. And secondly, I will appreciate Daddy and Mommy for the teachings and for your continuous death. That hasn't been easy. To Father House, I know you have been facing a lot of warfares and challenges, but with that, you are still pushing through. I really appreciate all that you are doing for us, even the one we could recognize, and the one we don't even know of, due to our childishness and maybe the level of the meek we have, and the little we know of. I really appreciate all your sacrifices, the night and in the day. So I want to appreciate all the associate pastor, Pastor GP, Pastor Gospel, Pastor Dial, Pastor Friday, and Pastor CG, Pastor Nismos also. Thank you for your support for Daddy. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for forbearing us at all instances. Pray the Lord will strengthen you in Jesus' name. Appreciate all my brethren for all that you have been doing for us. As well. So, it's not going to be long. It's just going to be short. Let me start from, I'm sorry, I might be repeating some things that was said, just to explain what I learned. Let's start from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it's behold him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sin of the people. 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, and is able to succor them that are tempted. 19. Wherefore, holy brethren, chapter 3. When I saw this statement, holy brethren, it strike a chord in my heart that when will I be considered as an holy brethren? Because this word is not just for anybody. So, partakers of the heavenly callings, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. So now, holy brethren, partakers of our holy calling, consider the high priest, consider the apostle and the high priest of our calling. So it's not taking me out, because I'm putting myself in that phrase. So considering Christ, who is our high priest. Now he has gone ahead of us. If you go to verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, and has also Moses was faithful in all his work. Now, the point I'm bringing out of it is that Jesus came, and what I'm running at the moment was what he ran, and he was faithful in it. And it's a task. Now, bringing us in as partakers of what holy callings, we are there, all of us now. It's expected that we too must be faithful to the end. So now, the point I'm trying to talk about is that Jesus Christ has come and he has laid an example. Regardless of wherever you find yourself, you are pursuing a profession. Whether you like it or not, you are pursuing a profession as an holy brethren. Whether you are working in the bank, wherever you find yourself, you are pursuing a profession. Now, the question to you and I is that, are we really faithful to the person that has called us? Or we are pursuing our own profession? The profession here is the profession of God. Not, you can be working anywhere, but are you carried away by that profession? We are always, look at the prophecy that came out now, that we should stay and be patient. You don't need to run anywhere. If you even leave the job you are working to another job, you will still face your profession. You are going nowhere. So just stay there and face it. Even in your house, people staying with you, you are facing a profession. So have you come to understand that this is a profession that has come to you, to me, that I must pursue? It's not enough to begin to complain about the situation. Complaining and complaining will not take away the profession. You have to run it. So the day you decide to understand that this is a profession, that's the beginning. So if you have not seen it as a profession, you have never gotten the vision. You are still playing around. So the Lord is waiting for you to understand that where you are working, you have a profession. In your house, people around you, you have a profession over them to raise them based on the way the Lord has raised you. So those things you are getting from the house, from pastors, from brethren, they are not waste. They're not wasted investment. It is going to be expected of you that you have to transfer it to them. Have you seen it that way? That's number one point I want us to see from that verse. Secondly, I want us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. So we need a mediator, because our profession is what? It's contestable. So Satan is really pursuing us, and is making efforts to see that we don't arrive faithful. We don't arrive at the end of the journey. So he's looking for us, he's looking for how he can divert our attention with a lot of things. You might even be feeling that my needs are not met. That's a distraction. Pastor Friday said something. He said needs are distraction to the main thing. So if you keep pushing your needs from today till you die, your needs will not be exhausted. I get me. They are economy said they are inestimable, like they're insatiable. Thank you. They are unlimited. So you can't count it. When you're a child, you are looking for parents will be looking for how my child will start talking, when he will start walking, when the child will grow up, get fatter. Like Akula and I is not growing fatter. My own prayers are going to make him fatter. You know, it's a distraction. So the day I saw it as a distraction, I take my eyes off it. So we need to see that our profession is contestable. Satan is fighting serious warfare to see that we don't arrive there. Let's go to the second point I want to explain. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That means it has been established. Nothing can change it. Like, there's a standard for what? The foundation of God, and which is Christ. We're being taught at ATS 2 that apostles and prophets are to teach the foundation of the New Testament, which is what? Christ. So if we are not focusing on Christ, you are not a New Testament church. Are you getting me? Now, Christ is the foundation. You might be in milk of the Spirit. You are learning some prerequisite. Are you getting me? You have not started. Are you getting me? Christ. So before I proceed on that, I want to let us understand that we are on a journey. We are on a journey, starting from what? The birth. We are going to God. I get him. And if you have not started to learn about Christ, we have not started. We have not started. So Christ is the foundation. Having this seal that the Lord knoweth them that are his. So you might be calling yourself Christ. Christ. I'm in the realm of Christ. Look at the clause. And let everyone that knoweth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So you are not yet in Christ if you are still in iniquity. This is a requirement. I'm not judging anybody here. I'm just trying to tell you that this is a standard we need to look at while we live. Sin might still be allowed as you are still drinking the milk of the Spirit. But you have not started until you start Christ. I get to me. A lot of things might still be ignored because you are learning the milk of the Spirit. But the focus is that we are going to God, and you have to start early, which is what? Christ. Please proceed to verse 20. And in a great hour, let me stop here. The foundation to learn God is Christ. If you have not started Christ, you have not started learning about God. So it's until you begin to learn about Christ that you commence the learning about God. You commence the journey to God. Okay, please give me praise God. Give me 2 Peter. Okay, sorry. Give me 2 John chapter 1 verse 9. Talking about the Pastor Mike was able to establish in summary how we can journey into God, that we start make a differentiation between mystery and the name. Are you getting me? So now starting from the mystery of Christ. Starting from the mystery of Christ to the mystery of God. I'm going to just, with this verse, 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. Whosoever transgressed and abided not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So now as I said earlier on, there's a focus. We are journeying to God. There's a journey into God. Now, is a step-by-step journey. As Pastor Dial said, you don't need to be in haste. We need to surrender ourselves to die. Because Reverend K said, He said, to move from one layer to another layer, death is required. So we have to die continuously. There's not much you need to do. All you just expect to do, just give everything. I get him. There's not much. Yes. There's not much. Death is not, there's not much for death. All you need to just obey. Just surrender. And you are dying by so doing. You don't need to study. You don't need to master the scripture. You only just obey. Surrender everything to God. Even when it is not convenient, just give it to God. When it is going well, to God. When it is not going well, to God. Then you are dying. And as you are doing that, you are obeying and you are growing. Thank you, man.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Okay, finally, my brethren. All right. I want to... appreciate God for this house and the structures he has put in place for our growth, for our development and spiritual nourishment. You know, sometimes you wonder why God has placed you in a particular place. And then sometimes it might take a lot of time before you really, really, really understand. And I thank God for the work that he has established in this house through our spiritual parents, Pastor Dimeji and Pastor Fisayo. I want to appreciate that which God has done in their lives, for them to be able to stay and then to show us the path to life. Well, bless God for that. And also, I want to appreciate Pastor Dio, Pastor Friday, Pastor CJ, and Pastor God's Power. Thank you so much for being co-laborers. We appreciate it. Okay, so I'm going to start on this note, just picking something from Pastor Mike's session. So he mentioned how that we tend to struggle with, the progressive path to the incorruptible life is not linear. And then when the word is coming, you know, the spirit would like use the preacher and then meander, you know, one aspect of the scriptures will be reviewed and then another one will be reviewed. And sometimes some of us, it makes us unsettled because we're wondering what is happening. Why not just go straight to the point and communicate that which the Lord will have you communicate? You know, sometimes we struggle even with the time, like you're watching time, like Reverend ought to have finished. He said he was going to finish at a particular time and then he didn't finish. Even pastor would still, you know, tell you that I'm trying, I'm struggling really hard. I want to finish, but he will tell you that it's still your faith too. You know, all of that. So it just occurred to me there that just a very simple analogy of a football match, that the beauty of a football match is not in the scoring at that instant when the match begins. That you see a lot of players meander, you know, all around the pitch, stressing, running around, and then eventually the goal comes. And everybody rejoices. That at that moment when the Holy Spirit is meandering and then something drops in your heart, that is what brings the joy of that word, of that pathway that the Lord is taking. And then, you know, for us, your moment of light might be different from another person's moment of light. And that is why he has to go through that pathway to reach each and every one of us. And so we must not despise that process. You know, it's also an instruction for me that, you know, we want to go home. Today is Sunday. We've been working all week. And then, you know, we now need to learn how to be patient to receive the word. And not just receiving, paying attention, and then doing the word. You know, those are like the critical points that I want to talk about there. All right, so I'll move on to Reverend's teaching. I was able to like focus on that more. And you know that God's calling upon our lives are unwavering. Reverend used the word unrepenting. And they are so strong that by the virtue of God's love for us, he has authorized the Son, Jesus Christ, to lead the way to the life of the incorruptible seed. And being a master at it, he has lived that life. He has lived it. He came to the earth, you know, to live that life. And then he ascended onto the throne. Now, you know, that journey for him wasn't easy. And so for us here, that we are trying to also live that life, him, that is Christ, by the help of the Spirit, would be the one to bring us succor when it looks like this journey is so tough. You know, it's always an encouragement to see that we have a company. This house is like a company. It's like a family, you know, house where when one, there are times when Pastor Dyer will talk to me and then encourage me. Do you understand? And, you know, all of those things are like the workings of God for each and every one of us. God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to remain at the level in which we are. And some of this process requires obedience to certain instructions. Do you get? So these are like the workings of God through the help of His Son and then also by the help of His Spirit. Reverend made mention of that. So I'm just going to be mapping a few things that I got from his teaching. Number one is, he talked about the birth of Christ. That was not the first thing he talked about anyway. It was first about the profession, but I'm going to talk about the birth of Christ and how it came about that, you know, it was for Mary, it was quite challenging because how can you explain that which is of you is of the Holy Ghost? The child that you are bearing is of the Holy Ghost. How do you want to explain that to anybody? But Joseph was patient. He was wise to take it. I don't know if he was doubting in his heart. I wouldn't know. The Bible didn't tell us anything like that. But he took it. You know, he was humble enough to just take it like that. And, you know, that birth process also had a lot of challenges. That Reverend talked about that we must be careful of the things that stop the progressive formation of Christ in us. And how, what does that mean? So, he said there are people that they can kill Christ in you. Just like Pastor Dyer said earlier on. And beyond that, there's a similitude to the act of Herod. You know, Herod wanted to kill the baby Jesus. And that there are similitudes even in our present reality. You know, it could be your career. It could be, you know, the things that you see around you. He also said that the prosperity life of Satan itself, which is the fear of being poor, can also limit you. Can also limit that progressive formation of Christ in us. And so I thought about it that, oh, that was like a light bulb moment for me. You know, it's still part of the meandering. You know, he had said several things and then he said that. You know, so, you know, a lot of things can be appealing to us, you know, this present life. We want this, we want that. You know, we wake up to work. We have all kinds of relations with people, you know, both in church and outside of church. But what I got from there is that we must be mindful of that progressive formation of Christ in us, such that we won't allow anybody to terminate that process. May we not have an abortion of the development of Christ in us. So, you know, it's so important that we need to start paying attention to it. The things we hear, you know, there are all kinds of messages around these days, you know, different kinds of emphasis. But thank God for this house that the emphasis has been consistent. It is clearly written that our development is unto Christ. What we are striving for is to be like Him. The life of the incorruptible seed that is in us is for a reason. You know, it's not, we are not interested in, Pastor Friday said something, I think last week that it's not even about your works, that what is your focus? You know, God can through you do mighty works. But are you focusing on those works or Christ Himself? You know, that's part of what we need to start paying attention to. Okay, so let me just move on from there to Jesus' job description. That was where Reverend actually started from. He said that the high priest is the high priest of our profession. Let's look at it. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. We can see how Jesus was, he understood his assignment, number one, and then he was faithful to it. Reverend said that his duty as an high priest is not all about taking our confession to God, but rather to make us be like him. Now, there's a part of, you know, in this present world that we are in, the focus for some people is they want Jesus to take that confession to God. That is all they care about. But beyond that, God wants us to look at Christ. Reverend used the word that is our destiny and the unrelenting calling of God. So Christ himself is our destiny. Not our prayers to him about, you know, how we want this, how we want that. You know, a lot of people are so focused around that area, and then they lose the essence of, you know, Christ coming as our high priest. All right. It said the calling of God is high, and it demands a high priest fashioned in like manner to take us through the high realm of glory. You know, that realm is so high that it only takes a priest that has that stature to be able to take us there. Imagine how could we have been able to walk that path without having Jesus? It's like a journey that is already futile. Like there's nothing we can do. He said, the reason why we seek him is because we need to journey to God, and then we need a mediator and an intercessor. Those are like the job description of Jesus through the working of his Holy Spirit. All right, I'm going to move on from there to an interesting part as well that blessed me a lot, which is the pathway of bearing witness to the testament. He said, you can be under the New Testament, yet you have not taken up the New Testament, which is the testimony. He said, all the apostles ended up knowing the testimony. They enjoyed the company of grace. Man, that part, it struck me, because we have our fathers in faith who have lived this life, and God has really helped them, you know, to enjoy the essence of Christ coming to earth, you know, and doing all of the workings that he did before he ascended back to God. And so for us here, we are also enjoying that grace. So this is just to encourage the heart of people that probably you're new in church and then you're wondering what is happening here. I would rather, you know, some people would just rather leave and, you know, they want to go to a trendy place where, you know, they can vibe and then enjoy all manner of, you know, relationship, you know, and you know what obtains out there. But it's called the company of grace. The company of grace. And, you know, that means we must not take our fellowship with one another for granted. You know, as I know some of us live together. You know, those things are very, very important. They are very, very important. So you must not take, you know, in fact, you must be so careful that you don't allow the enemy to, you know, cause like strife in between you and your brethren. You must protect that relationship. You must guard against an infliction of that company that God has, you know, wrought in our midst. Reverend said Jesus grew taking milk, but a time came when he had to become Christ. So, you know, I thought about it, that how did he live as a child, as a baby? If I asked my wife this afternoon that, did Jesus suckle like us? You know, I just asked that. Like, I was thinking about that. How did he live? You know, as a child, you know, the playful child running around the street, and you know, a lot of people could not even discern him at that level. But a time came when he had to leave all of those things, you know, and then Scripture says that he submitted himself at that stage, and you know, that was when the mysteries of Christ started flowing, started coming to him. And you know, it was while learning God that Jesus himself was revealed to people. I think it took about 18 years or thereabout for that to happen. Okay, so yeah, one more thing before I move on to the next thing I want to say. He said, Reverend said that at that stage, that Jesus received the crown of glory and honor. Let's look at that. 2 Peter 1:16-17. He said Christ received two different crowns. One at that stage and then the other one at transfiguration. So let's look at that, please. Four. But at two different stages. 2 Peter 1:16-17. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. All right. Let me move on to the last part that I would like to talk about, which has to do with our responsibilities as we journey to the Father. Number one, Reverend painted a picture that we need to, one, abide in Christ. He said quite a number of things there. Let's quickly look at John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. That's our responsibility as Christians. We need to abide in Christ. And how can we do that? Number one, by abiding in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ, which is in, we can find that in 2 John 1:9. Please, let's quickly look at that too. 2 John 1:9. Whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. So for us to lay hold on the Father and the Son, we need to abide in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is taught in this house. That is the main emphasis. That is the ingredient that we need to get into the Father and the Son. And so we are a privileged people. We are blessed. God has nourished us. God is nourishing us. He's working through us. He is fashioning us in the like manner of his Son. And so we are grateful to God for that. Okay. The end goal of abiding in the doctrine of Christ is to possess the Father and the Son. I've talked about that. The doctrine of Christ is spirit and not just words. So we mustn't be excited alone about, you know, the word. We must also strive to get the testament. Just like Reverend said, as we continually yield to the spirit of the doctrine, then we will move from having the seed of God to having the testimony of the seed of God. But the testimony, we always desire our death. So it's not automatic. Just like my brother said, that you need to fulfill, you know, obedience at every point in time. Let me quickly rush and then also talk about how he said that we also need to be patient in receiving the promise. That is Hebrews 10:36. I'm going to end there. Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. May our hearts be focused on Christ, and may we be patient enough to receive all that he has for us in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Can we put our hands together for them? Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Emmanuel. Thank you, Brother Ife. Thank you. How many of us were blessed by those sessions? Thank you so much. There was a lot of, you know, clarity that came to the whole message. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, Sister Yonju, I hope she's inside the hall. Is she in the hall? Can we put our hands together for Sister Yonju? Is she here? Okay, you're welcome, ma. Okay. You're welcome, ma. The Lord is your strength, ma. Okay. You can come here, ma. We have a few minutes. Just want to ask a very particular question, ma. Okay. You were around. You've listened to the message.
I read the transcript.
Okay, beautiful. The transcription was. Can we put our hands together for the media team? They did quite a good work with that. Okay, my Reverend spoke about a lot of things towards the end, but to actually maybe help the whole process so that I don't put you under a lot of heat. Okay, so I'd like to ask you, Ma, some of the things I want to ask have actually been mentioned at one point or the other. There were two different levels that, you know, Jesus was crowned. So what were these crownings, and how many were there?
Okay. Is it, I'm not sure if it is the crown of glory and honor.
Yes, it is.
So that's it.
Yes, and where did he get them?
Where did he get them? Yes. Okay. There are many things in my head right now.
Okay.
But I'm thinking, okay, the crown of glory and honor was after the 18 years, if I think I understand what you're asking, Ma. I think Reverend spoke about how that at 12, we didn't hear anything
until
he was 30.
Yes.
And that was when that voice came.
Yes, that was the from first time. Heaven.
Yes, that the voice
the
came and said.
Time.
So that's the first. And the second was at the resurrection ascension.
No, before.
Before, okay. Before resurrection.
Yeah, it was. Before he went to the cross.
Exactly, Ma.
So when was that, Ma?
Somebody says she's a lawyer. I think.
Pardon me. You are the lawyer, Ma.
my understanding
okay.
of it, really. Because sometimes when I listen to message, I just try to see how I can really bring it home.
Okay.
You know. So, crown of glory and honor. Like I said, crown of glory was at.
The first was at Jordan.
At Jordan.
And
when
the
second was at. Resurrection.
Transfiguration.
Transfiguration, yes. Before
it was an announcement that came
yes,
after.
When he was in company of
yes,
the prophets of Moses
thank
and Elijah.
Thank you, Ma. Can we put our hands together for her? Okay, let me call Brother Timilane. Brother Timmy Fancy. Timmy. I want Timmy to come and open something here. Oh, yeah. High priest. Okay, please, be fast. We have a few minutes. I still want to call a few persons. This is the last, you know, session. Brother Timilane, in this part, I want you to actually take your time. Not really take your time. You have like 5 minutes to, you know, do a very quick work. Reverend spoke about, you know, I want you to, you know, I know you can do this. So, yeah, we need you to come here, sir. So I want you to talk about all the processes. You can use this other one if that is not working well. You know, it spoke about the various levels. I'll mention them. I want you to, you know, expatiate each of them. He spoke about the word, and that we need the word, which you can also liken to the law. We need that law to get to the testimony, and the testimony is like, you know, what forms. He spoke about the testimony that Abel had, and now that testimony was able to raise a generation of men who could connect to God. You know, and now by mercy we have, please help him with this microphone. We have Jesus Christ, whose, you know, blood is a greater testament. And every prophet actually should have a testimony. They should have a testament which should speak. Now, after that, he spoke about that testimony, obeying it. So I want to tell you what you should talk about. Now, he spoke about that and the testimony linking with, you know, sacrifices. Those sacrifices brings us to what? You know them already. So it brings us to covenant, and then our covenant brings us into promises. So talk about that in the next 5 minutes or even three.
Amen.
3 minutes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay, so I want to just start by is he advising or admonishing us to go to the UK retreat message? I think it's going to help us. I think that's why I told that to Lola, that it's a continuation. And Reverend, like if you listen to it, you'll be more grounded in the things that were taught in Baba's blessing. Okay, let me start from Isaiah 66, from verse 1 and 2. Okay, give me verse 2. Oh, okay. Give me verse 1, sorry. He said, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you have built for me, and where is the place of my rest? So, the seed is what builds the house. Okay? So, then there is a place of rest. So you understand? The place of rest is the place of the testimony. And like we have learned, the testimony is in the blood. So you understand? So, there first must be a building. You understand? The building is the body. Then the body is for the life. Reverend, in that message, you spent time to explain our natural body.
Yes.
How it works. How is that? Is the blood that feeds the body. You know, so, you know, Reverend said something. This thought is a major breakthrough. You know, because God is bringing together everything, all the understanding, so that we can see what God is trying to do with us. She understands. So, the first thing God wants to do is that He wants to build a house where He can put the life. She understands. So, what God really wants to give is testimony. Reverend was talking about how that the body is not enough to deal with Satan. Because the spirit you are warring with also has a testimony. So, you have to have a life. But first, there has to be a body. So, when word is coming to us, when teachings are coming to us, what they want to do is to build a body. But then, there will still be a life inside. So, when I was listening to it today, it was like I never heard that part of covenant and promises. So, what I saw was that the essence of the body and the life, which is the seed and the testimony, is for us is to make covenant.
Yes.
Because it is with your life that you will cut covenant. So when God sees a building and life, He will cut covenant with you. So when that is done, you are now entitled for the promise.
Okay, thank you.
So when...
No, I want to ask another question. Right. So that's...
Okay, so when there is no building and there is no life, there is nobody for God to cut covenant with, and you will not come to the promise. I was talking about when He sees the covenant of life and peace. That means you can come into the promise of peace.
Beautiful.
You understand?
Yeah, and Reverend said then that many of us, you know, we're already having that covenant, like that life, the life of Christ, at least to a... Don't leave yet. That to a degree that life of Christ already being formed because of obedience that we have been done in yielding to the laws and the word that have been coming. So the works we have been doing are already forming a life to us. So one of the many crowns that will come into is peace. You know, peace is a reward of a life that is in Christ. When we obey that life, we'll inherit that blessing. So that some of us are already, because of, you know, attention you're paying to the word. So don't neglect or don't, despise your gathering with your saints, with the saints. Don't despise, you know, the words you are in. Don't even despise your dealings. Don't look down on them and think they are nothing. It's a lot. Everyone is doing a work in us. And so, you know, all those processes of building you as a temple, it might take, you know, number of years, but if you're consistent with it, it's always certain. It's always sure. So, you know, I want you to link these thoughts to the lamb. Reverend, do we all remember that part where Reverend spoke about, you know, what the lamb does is to lead. And the prophets would follow, Bro Bambo, you will soon come out. The Lord is your strength. It's a good one. I actually enjoy it. It's a good one. I see the way you're connecting. I wasn't looking at you, but I saw your hand and, you know, the whole engagement. It's beautiful. It's really good. You know, Pastor CG and Pastor Friday told us about the attitudes we should have to the word. If we lack those attitudes, we can't be built. We're building, we will be defaulting in many areas. So Reverend spoke about, do you remember those aspects? I should call someone. It's beautiful. So now the lamb. And what the lamb does to lead us. Because what he wants to do is he wants to lead prophets. And those prophets, the what they have in them is a testament. They have a testament. So can you link this aspect to what the lamb does and how, you know, being the lamb will come into...
Okay, I think that was what Pastor Nismos was trying to explain last week.
Okay, no, he said it in this one.
Yes, I understand.
So it's like a beautiful...
Okay, there was a scripture that was quoted when... Talking about the apostle.
Yeah.
And
Hebrews chapter
3.
Hebrews 3, verse 1.
Okay, I also want to tell us to listen to Pastor, what is his name again? Forgotten. The person that spoke before Reverend.
Pastor Mike.
Pastor Mike's side. That thing he did with him, Colossians 2, verse 2. Mm. Let's try and understand it. Are we able to merge it with what you taught in Matthew 28? Okay. Wherefore, holy brethren, no, not this. Let's talk about the apostle and the high priest.
Oh, okay, apostle.
Okay. All right. So, you know, initially when I used to read the epistles, I used to look at the greetings, like, they merging servant and prophet and this and this. So it was in this message and I found out that everything they were saying had a meaning, but we don't understand it.
Because of where we
are. So Jesus Christ is an apostle and Jesus Christ is a prophet.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is a bishop and Jesus Christ is a shepherd. So the bishopric or the nature of a bishop is in the shepherd. All right, so that's why the shepherd has rod and he has staff. So the rod is a measuring instrument. It's for building.
Yeah.
If you look at this, I think look at verse 2. It was talking about how he was faithful in all his house.
Yeah.
So you can see that it's when they mention apostle and high priest that they mention building. So you understand? So the work of the apostle is the apostle and high priest is with the bishop. Prophet and high priest is with the prophets. Do you understand? So the work of the apostle and the high priest is to raise the house, is to build the house. What the prophet and the high priest does is to lead the house. So when he is staying with the house, he's using the word to measure things for the raising of the house. So when he's a prophet and he's a high priest, he's leading the house for the house to gain life, for the house to gain. You know, when you talk about blood, blood is not red pigment, really. Blood is spirit. Blood is what makes the house work. So when he's leading the house, he's trying to bring the house into the life that is supposed to be in the house. So Jesus Christ is not just the apostle and the high priest, also a prophet and high priest. And we saw that in Revelation, say that these are they who followed the Lamb, whithersoever it goes. So he was trying to bring them into eternal life.
Yes.
He was trying to lead them to a point where they have the life that building is supposed to have.
Okay, thank you so much, Brother Timilane. Thank you. Please, Pastor Friday, please, pardon me, a few more minutes. Sorry, please, can somebody take over from Brother Sam? Oh, gently, Brother Sam, please. Please help him hold that. Okay, someone is. Thank you so much. I need Brother Sam immediately. Don't worry. You don't need to remove anything from your body. I'll bring the mic to you. Please, be very fast. Okay, so I want to ask, did you hear anything around servant and brethren? Did you remember anything around that thought? Okay, while you are remembering, did anybody remember that part? You started though. Servants and brethren. Brother Bright. No, you remember. You've been whispering. You didn't remember that part.
Are you sure?
Okay. Bro Bambo, do you remember that part? Who remember the parts of servants and brethren? Bro Williams, do you remember? You have an idea, Abby? Yes, the idea is needed. Okay, so nobody remembers the part of the servants and brethren. Okay, someone. Okay, Bro Caleb. Can we put our hands together for Bro Caleb? Well, Bro Caleb, you're welcome, sir. Please come and help us with that part. Oh, just hold on. Another lot will fall on you. Fall on you very soon.
Good evening, everyone. I think it was when he was reading Revelation 22, verse 9. Revelation 22, verse 9. So he was talking about angels also having their own testament. That's when he was trying to link it up with that even Lucifer also had testament, like said earlier. And then that even before the message started, I heard Reverend talking about Michael. If you pay attention, it means that even the things that Reverend brought is a form of testimony that servants brought. So, and the life that is expected of us is a life that is even better than the angels. So despite the fact that John saw the vision And he was so excited. Wow, this is insane. And he wanted to say, guy, you brought this soul. Let me pay me. But he said that. They said unto him, say that do it not for thy servants and their brethren, the prophets. So angels also are prophets because they are holding a particular testament, which is like a continuous excerpt of the testament that is in the life of God. And it's something like it's consistent. That is why they come to our meetings to sort of like bring down those things and then step it down to us. And it's a continual process. That's,
can we put our hands together for Brother Caleb? You know, Reverend spoke about these two mysteries, these two domains of life, that we need an understanding of these two places. You can't afford to just stay as a servant. You need to also arrive at the place of brotherhood, which, you know, is a season where the blood, the testimony, is being delivered to you. You need that to overcome the dragon. Without you arriving at these two things, you cannot, because, you know, the law or the thank you, Bro Bright, you want to help? You're flowing. Hallelujah. Now, Reverend was telling us that these realities is like a state that we journey into. We first journey into being servants of our God, and then they move us further into that state of brotherhood. That brotherhood is a higher level where, you know, what binds us is the blood of the testimony. If we don't have that, if you Revelation chapter 12, it says, and they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb, and by what? So these properties are what we'll need to overcome the dragon. If we don't, you know, Daddy, there was a time Daddy taught about saints and brethren. I don't know if we remember, maybe like 3-4 years ago, Daddy was teaching about that you can be a saint, but you have not, you know, graduated to becoming a brother or a brethren. That brethrenhood or that state of being a brethren is a higher level of covenant. And there is a kind of word that will come to you at that level. There are words that, you know, you cannot relate with if you're still a servant. But when you journey further through the revelation of life that is in the blood and you fellowship with it, it will bring you to an estate where, you know, the life of the testimony becomes your own. It becomes customized with your soul, meaning it becomes something you handle. Like, you know, men of old, prophets like Enoch, you mentioned many of those servants, men in their generations who held a testimony, spoke about Abraham handling something lesser than what Abel had, because, you know, he was like the last, his generation himself, Jacob and Isaac and Jacob were the last of that order. And so what they had was lesser. And that when you see God can come to you and tell you he's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of Jacob. And why he's telling you that is not because he's saying they served him. He's saying because he's the one they inherited. They possessed his life. So when we want to arrive at this state, the Lord will begin to initiate us into a higher revelation or understanding that is in him, that is in the Son. He will bring that light to us. And as we fellowship with that testimony, it begins to become our own. So that's what binds us together. It's a fellowship that we need that, you know, gets us to assess a wisdom that can overcome the dragon. The dragon also has his fellowship. He has his testimony. He has, you know, his blood. He has that blood is corruptible. He has his life. He has he even has his crown. He has his promises. But those promises pass away. They don't endure. So how we transit away from that, which we can see, which is obvious and which is passing away, into an incorruptible crown or into an incorruptible life that the eyes cannot see. But, you know, you have to believe with the eyes of faith that this thing is real. How we journey through it is as we obey the testimony that is in Christ, because that testimony has its work. Those works are revealed to us. It is when we do those works. In doing those works, you know, there was something I thought Brother Timilei was going to talk about when Reverend mentioned about the lamb leading. He says, as the lamb is leading you, you're sacrificing. That's how you sacrifice. As it's leading you, that leading wherever you is going is the blood. You're shedding blood. And you need that blood for the covenant. Without the covenant, they can't give you promises. You need to have done sufficient as an obedience to a point where God comes and make covenants with you and say, truly now I can bring you to a higher level. Those are the brethren. They have covenants. So those covenants are what God makes them, you know, he begins to bring promise. Those promises, you know, start with Christ. But the real promises are the promises of everlasting and eternal life. You know, it's a long journey, brethren. It's a long journey. And these things are real. You know, it's beautiful to see that our ears are hearing this words. That was why Jesus was saying in Matthew 11, that I bless my Father
He was thanking God and was giving thanks, saying how he has revealed these things to babes. And so, and you know, he didn't call them sucklings, he called them babes. You know, these things, he has hid them from the wise and the prudent. Because those things are what make for our peace. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto who? Babes. So, but those babes, he was seeing them that in their destiny, that they are not just going to remain babes, they're going to become men who will undo things of incorruption. So our journey, you know, is to press into that. Finally, brothers, Sam, you've been standing here, the Lord is your strength. I want you to talk about the final thoughts Reverend rounded up with when he spoke about apostles in our days. You know, he said some things about apostles, contemporary, like in our present time. Do you remember anything around that? Does anybody, I'm sure we should remember that. Should I call some names? Apostles. Okay, maybe I should help you. I really didn't want to help you before, but maybe charity too. He mentioned how we should not take honor that is not ours to ourselves. He said, because there are Goliaths that you need to fight. That if you don't have those statues to fight them, you are already done for, you know, before you even started the journey, because, you know, he says, no man take this honor to himself, except him that is called of God. That was Hebrews 5. Like Aaron. Aaron was called of God. He didn't take that honor to himself. And then he spoke about us not, you know, attributing what we are not to ourselves and feeling, okay, maybe because, he mentioned how we should not be swift, you know, because to teach. Because you have a little revelation, you want everybody to know, you go to Facebook and you're clearing your throat, open your Bible to, you know. Reverend said, he said there were things the Lord told him. Can you remember what he said the Lord told him over 20 years ago? It's in that context. Those were like his conclusions. Should we be begging you? We all listen to this message. Who remember what he said the Lord, to the instruction the Lord gave him? But we listen to the message. Please, Sister Damola, say it out now. He should keep his secrets. Meaning, those secrets where he says many of us are too, he quoted the scripture in Proverbs. You are saying, yeah, but you did not talk when we're asking. So really, we know these things. It's just that, you know, sometimes maybe he knows really. If you open the Bible now, it will scatter everywhere. But, you know, he mentioned the fact that, you know, many of us, when we have a little understanding, we want to talk about it. He said, it is a fool that will, you know, speak everything that is in his heart. He says, the Lord told him over 20 years ago that he should keep his secrets. He should learn to keep it. You know, and daddy came much later to talk about what the Lord told him as well, that he should be 10 times bigger on the inside than he is on the outside. Meaning, you just keep those things, keep those properties. Don't be too quick to announce yourself as a prophet, as an apostle. Don't take tags. Daddy has said that the Lord told him. What did daddy say the Lord told him? In the house, not during the Baba's blessing. That the Lord told him that if you do something, you're a thief. Hey, you have helping you. Okay, yeah, so help him. Help your brother. If you take a title that is not yours, who are you? You're a thief. And so, you know, taking titles he says you should wait for God. Wait for heaven. Let heaven be the one to announce you. Let heaven be the one to, you know, set you apart for that work. Don't be too quick to take those tasks to yourself. Okay? Can we put our hands together for Brother Sam? Thank you so much, Alice, for coming up here. I want to believe we've all been blessed with Baba's blessing. So much was done during this meeting. A lot was done. And, you know, I'm believing God that the Lord will help us to labor. You know, looking at those messages, when Sadiela came out first, she said that 3 hours, 43 minutes, everybody was laughing that. Well, it's true. You know, you can look at it and say, hey, 4 hours, how do I do this? Well, you know, if you want to watch a movie, you can spend more than that. And you will sit and you remember. Do you know, I was asking someone a question recently and I said, the movies you saw 3-4 years ago, you know you can still recount those movies scene after scene. But you hear messages and you don't remember minutes after minutes. It's spirits that are fighting us. You think your mind is dull. No, you are not dull. There are things your mind is receptive to. You are alert when you see things that please your soul. But when it comes to things of the spirit, your body just shuts down. Those are warfares we must believe the Lord to fight in this season and overcome. How our minds, we can be quick of understanding. He says, we'll make him of quick understanding in the fear of God. Meaning the Lord will breathe upon our hearts and make us quick, enable to, you know, you'll be able to pick those thoughts and trap them. Those things make for our peace. Can we pray to the Lord this evening? Can we just bow our heads to Jesus and pray that in this season we will labor. We will find grace to labor. We'll find grace to invest in all that heaven is doing. We will find grace by the mercy of the Lord to break through in the spirit. We will not be weary. We will not be tired. But by God's grace, we will, you know, engage and give ourselves to much hearing, to much building. The Lord wants to build us up. The Lord wants to put his life in us. He wants us to come to his blessings. He wants to crown us with life everlasting and life eternal. But he needs a vessel. He needs a soul that is built up. Can we pray to the Lord that we'll be diligent? We'll be diligent with our building. We'll be committed with building. That Lord, you'll give me wisdom. That I will be wiser than my enemies, adversaries who are fighting against my building. In this season, I will be wiser than them. And by the grace of God, I will fight my battles and overcome. I will prevail against these works of the enemy and come into freedom and liberty.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.